The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw On Your Questions, episode 373. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight, I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Why, hello there.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
Greetings, Tarnished.
And Brian Mongioma.
What up, what up, what up?
Carlos, you disappointed me, man.
How you doing? How you doing?
Yeah, that's what I wanted, you know?
Don't think I didn't contemplate doing that, but I'm like, I'll let it rest for a week. Yeah.
No, I was waiting for it, you know? It didn't happen. All right, man, how's everybody doing out there? You know, hope you guys are not getting killed too much in Elden Rings. You know, I already see the chat's already talking about Elden Ring. This is crazy. You know? And I'm pretty sure that's why we only have seven listeners. You know, motherfuckers are playing right now, you know?
Oh, no, we got bumped up. We got 13 now.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Right, a delayed reaction, you know.
People being summoned.
Yeah, you already know what we're going to be talking about tonight. You guys were asking about it. Actually, I believe last week we were asked if we're going to be getting Elden Ring. So now the question has been upgraded to, is Elden Ring a masterpiece?
Oh.
Because that's the chatter right now. So yeah, anyway, the game came out. We talked about it on you know, the Thursday show. 98 on Metacritic, blowing up everywhere, fucking people up, you know, the game. So let's just talk about it for like 20 minutes. You know, by the way,
97.
Yeah, by the way, Bilbo Swaggins, thanks to Chris and Brett, I was finally able to beat that motherfucker, man. Finally, I can start the real game, you know. So yeah,
can I start a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you guys, so, and this is, we'll get to overall thoughts, but I don't want to forget this question.
Oh.
Can you, because I haven't summoned anyone yet in the game, and obviously, you know, in the older games, the older Souls games, whenever you summon people and you beat a boss, they disappear.
Oh, that happens. Resummon.
Mm-hmm. God damn, man. Nothing, this ain't a masterpiece. Yeah. Fuck this game.
But there's an interesting thing about it. That's only when you defeat a boss.
Yeah, with a boss. Yeah.
Mini bosses they stay with you.
Do they though? Because I faced a mini boss with someone and they disappeared.
Well, if they have a name, they're not a mini boss.
Yeah, exactly.
They're a sub boss.
They're a sub boss.
The difference between a mini boss and a sub boss. But I mean, here's the thing.
Yeah, if they're
it's
named,
super easy.
Yeah.
It's super easy after you beat one to like just pop over to the other side of a threshold and resummon your people. It's not tough.
Yeah, it works exactly the same as before.
From what I'm seeing, it's a little way easier even this time to get somebody in.
To me, it felt exactly the same. It felt like,
well,
yeah, like, you know, it's like you got to put the network code, you know, your personal thing. You got to, you know, got to put the slash down on the ground. You got to summon, you know, it's like, okay, works exactly the same, you know?
Yeah, except it works
Yeah, most of the time, 98% of the time. It's sometimes it kind of fucks up, you know?
Now, here's the other thing. It is not that much easier. It's just more reliable to summon a friend in now. I think where people are saying it gets easier is the overall summon system with, you know, people who aren't your friends, hugely improved. They have these new summoning pools now where you can, like, I can just put down a sign literally anywhere in the zone, and anybody in the zone who needs help, my sign will get pulled into these kind of, like, little summoning pools.
Yeah.
Near their area, so like I could just sit in a central place in the middle of the map and just drop my sign and just help people all over the zone instead of having to go to here and put my zone in front of this boss door and go here and put it in front of this boss door. Most of the time now, it's kind of cool because it's like picking random. I don't know what boss I'm fighting. I just know I'm going to be pulled in somewhere in Limgrave to help somebody fight something.
Yeah, in that essence, it's the same. But like from my experience just playing with you guys, I'm like, oh, it's exactly the same. But no,
oh, no, we're it random. It's way better.
Yeah. No, that's pretty cool, though. You know. Anyway, thoughts. What do we think about this game?
Does nobody want to go first?
Yeah,
I'll go last since I'm the one that least played it.
Yeah. I guess it's a fight between Chris and Brett.
Oh,
I'm loving it. Like, I didn't realize I've been exploring the map. I didn't go through Stormvale after I killed Margit. I just decided, hey, I'm going to run out in the world and see how far I can get. And that little black square, it just keeps expanding. Kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The map is enormous, and there's like so many caverns and dungeons, and there's bosses just hanging out in the field. Like, I turn a corner and there's a death bird, or I turn a corner and there's another giant guy on a horse. It's holy crap. So there's the scope of this one is like all of the Souls games mashed together. It's like so immense. But the combat is very polished. There's a lot of variety now. They've taken a lot of learnings like from Bloodborne and Sekiro. I noticed that in this game.
You can jump.
And you can jump on command. You can do a little hop. So that's interesting. And that's the thing from Sekiro. Like, Sekiro could do that. You could jump. So they took that, you know, there. And then the thing with the lightning straight out of Sekiro. Like, if you stand in the wrong spot, you just get blasted. There's so much going on in here. But do I think, like, it's the perfect game? No. Like, no game is perfect. So it's kind of weird, like, all these 10 out of 10s. I know that would be blasphemy.
You know, again,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I got to jump in on that because, you know, even though I've only just beaten the first boss, I've played like a good 12 hours. Listen, man, no, this ain't no masterpiece. It's just a really good game. Again, but, you know, we talked about that on Thursday. It says people have to exaggerate everything, you know, but because to me, I'm playing like, oh, it's just a regular Souls game, just in an open world. It's the same shit. You know, which is good, which is good. I'm not complaining about that. Just like I said about Horizon. Oh, it's more of the same shit, you know, but, you know, it's just in an open world. That's the only main difference. Like at its core, it's still that same experience. All your experiences, you know, with the previous games carry over there, you know, as far as like play wise. So, yeah, it's the same thing. Again, you're a Souls fan. You're going to love it. If you're not a Souls fan, you will not love it. Like, I know some people say, oh, this is the game. It's going to get me. No, it's not. If you didn't like the last ones, you will not like this one, you know.
Yeah.
I've known a few people who have gotten into this one who weren't able to get into the previous ones, and I think the big deal is the accessibility is better in this one, not because the game is easier, because it's not. It's easier because if you get fucked up in an area, you just go do some shit somewhere else for a while, level yourself up. You don't have to, you know, slam your head into that wall until the wall gives anymore. You have options now, which I mean, I feel like it changes a lot of stuff. For the better, definitely. But yeah, you no longer have to just, well, keep doing this or keep doing this or keep doing this or log out and throw your controller. You can just be like, okay, well, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go explore this. Maybe I can go kill some guys, collect some souls. Maybe I'll find some items. It's in my opinion, more accessible without being more difficult, which is a really tough balance to strike. So I'm kind of pleased that they did it. I will go out on a limb here and say, I do think it's a masterpiece. But there's some caveats that come with that. Like, number one, let me put it this way. I agree that this is very possibly one of the best games I've ever played. Now, that being said, you have to look at it for what it is, right? I love Souls games. I think that Souls games are very well designed. This is the best Souls game, in my opinion. So it's kind of only natural that you'd be like, well, yeah, I mean, this is one of my favorite games. But you don't say, like, this is one of the best games of all time. You're like, yeah, I mean, this is probably one of my favorite games in a good long time. But that's what gaming should be, man. We should be going closer towards that apex, not drifting further away from it. So while I do agree with a lot of the sentiment of how much people are enjoying it, I don't think that just because it's a really good game or even one of my favorite games means that it's a perfect game. And I think that's a distinction that we need to make more. Just because it got a 98 doesn't mean it's perfect. It just means
that's what people think.
It's pretty,
you know?
Good.
Yeah.
Well,
that's how pedantic shit is.
Yeah, I agree with what you said. Like, that's my argument. It's not a perfect game. There's no game that's perfect.
No game
that's impossible.
Yeah, people need to fucking chill, you know? Yeah. It's a very good game, you know? Very good game.
Well, it's for my playstyle and the things that I like, it's not a perfect game, but it's about as close as we're gonna come to one. It's up there with other games like Red Dead, in my opinion, which had some really cool stuff. Not perfect, but, you know, Red Dead's a good example, actually. When you hear about it from people, you're like, oh, so this is the second coming of Jesus. No, it's just a really good video game.
Yeah.
That's it.
Bilbo Swaggin says to tell him not to chill because he thinks it is a masterpiece. Hey, listen, if you want to think that as cool, I'm just saying it's not. It's just another Souls game. It was just fine.
I'll say this from, the one, almost 2 hours that I've put into this game. And as someone that is not a Souls fan, I've noticed I saw another trend when reading these reviews. I read a lot of reviews going out, and obviously all of them were saying, I hear someone.
Yeah, right.
Someone's giving, so like a lot of, all these people are giving them 10 out of 10s. But I remember there's one pattern that I saw in all of them, and all of them were Souls fans.
Yeah.
I'm guessing all of the people that reviewed this game, they were like, okay, so who's going to review Dark Souls? Well, let's give it to the Souls guy. And all the Souls people ate this shit up like it was a fucking, Peter Luger's fucking steak.
You know, man, we got to have them as sponsors. That's the second time we've mentioned them, you know? But I agree with you. I mean, that's what happened over at my site. Tom's guy was like, hey, we got Elden Ring. Who wants to review it? Everybody was like, nope. You know?
Well, a lot of people didn't want to review because they're Souls fans, too. It's a really weird place to be.
Yeah, so the only guy that read it was the hardcore Souls fan, you know?
So I feel like this is cater-made to them, and it has enough change for it to feel new and refreshing.
Hold on, Carlos, so I got to stop you. You know, I'm a fucking asshole.
Uh-oh, here comes
You mixed two things in one.
Uh-oh, what
I
do?
You either want to say cater to or tailor-made for. Understand? You said catered made for. That's not a phrase.
Are they similes or
You know, I mean, you could kind of say, but like when it's the game, you could say this game is catered to or it's tailor made for. Understand?
It's tailor made is a better use of the word from what I was trying to say.
Yeah,
this game is tailor made for the people that love this game, and it has enough new aspects and new features with open world. To make the game feel sort of new and refreshed than as what the other games were doing. Because the other games, even to the people that I talked to, not Brett and probably not Chris because I haven't heard it from them, but you know, Souls was getting to the same formula kind of back and forth, you know, even with they remade a game that already came out. So, you know, having this open world adds to the franchise, it makes it feel new. For me, I feel like this is a better Dark Souls because it doesn't feel as claustrophobic as the other games were, and that's kind of what I didn't like the most about the last games. I'm like, oh, like I just it was like a narrow path like game. Like whenever you entered a world, like you felt like you needed to go one direction or the other, and this one's like you can go anywhere. That's the more enticing part of this game for me. Everything else, including the shitty summon system to get the multiplayer, is still intact. So it's a great game. I don't see any faults in it, except some stuttering that I've seen, and it's like some at random times too. But nothing that's happened throughout like a pretty big fight so far. So I can't get too upset at that. But pretty good game.
Yeah, it's good. You know, but I gotta say this: the one thing I don't like is the open world. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Like, can you see, I want the traditional funnel me through the, you know, like levels and shit. You know, like, I like it is like when I got there, I'm like, oh my fucking God. It's like Breath of the Wild. You know, it's like, it just throws you in, just throws you to the middle of this shit. And you're like, thankfully, the bonfire
is kind of...
What?
We can't just graze past that. Did
I can.
Was that an ironic comparison or an unironic comparison?
It was a backhanded compliment, I guess.
Okay. I'll take it.
Yeah, but again, actually, no, it could be a backhanded insult too, but it depends. You know, but it's the same reason I never liked the original Zelda from NES. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Tell me where to go, you know?
It does tell you where to go.
But at the same time, you know what I'm saying.
It tells you where the golden path is.
Man. Yeah, it does. But there's other shit on the map that you need to look for. And you know me, I'm like, give me a fucking marker.
Oh, no, I mean, you can stay on the golden path.
You know,
I
want to see the other stuff. Understand?
So that's your fault. That's
it is. But I literally just say that. It's a Tony thing, you know?
Let me ask you. I understand that you want that. For you personally,
yes.
There's no wrong answer here. Would it be as satisfying finding things if they were pointed out to you?
Yes. Because I didn't have to waste my fucking time. Understand? I didn't have to waste fucking 3 hours to find a cave. It's like, hey, there it is. I prefer that. Like, I don't have any patience. I really don't. The older I get, I have less patience for this shit. And I think that's why I was fucking me up with this game, because I'm trying to play like a Dark Souls. I got to Margate in 2 fucking hours. I got on a horse. I'm like, where's this motherfucker? Vroom, let's go to him. You know? But this game's not meant to be played like that. But yeah, basically, yeah, Kishak says that I want the tour, you know, like tell me where all this shit is, you know.
Oh, I'm working on it.
Chris is building it. I'm collecting all the maps. That's why I went exploring, because I have to show people where to go. I'm like, oh, this is where this is. This is where this is.
So I'll probably enjoy this game a lot a year from now after Chris has finalized the tour, you know.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Question for you, because I found myself in kind of doing the same thing. Do you find yourself just doing and enjoying things, to like digging into an area and be like, I can't wait to show the guys this area? Like, I feel like I'm going out doing like wildlife research so that I can go back and start a safari business.
Yeah, it's good. Especially what I'm trying to key in on is like where the important fights are and where the important items are. I'm like, oh, I found this talisman here. I found this sword here. I found this here. It's like, okay, so now I know where this is. And then I'm just right, because the map is huge. Like, it's freaking huge, and even they fool you with the little square. You think, oh, okay, most maps, the black border means there's no more map, right? It's the edge. No, they fool you, because if you keep running up, the square gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and the map just keeps expanding. And I haven't unlocked the full map, and I kept riding north as far as I could, and I still didn't get all the way up.
Okay, I got it. Go ahead.
Oh, this is veering from that conversation. So if you have something to add to that,
I just wanted to point out, like, I meant to say this. I've been constantly fucking surprised about how this game is open world, and yet the level flow, the verticality of level design, and the way that they place enemies is no less Dark Souls than it ever has been before. Because when I first heard about this game, I was like, cool, so we're getting open world. How is that going to change the way that you approach and having to do the same enemy set over and over again? You're going to lose that Dark Souls sense of, you know, wash, rinse, repeat kind of thing. But no, everything is still as, you know, dense and convoluted and laid on top of each other as it always was. And I'm just shocked by this.
Yeah. So I got into the one situation, and I want to see what you guys think about this. So, and I know there's probably going to be two camps to it.
Oh,
there's going to be the Tony camp, and there's going to be the Brett camp, and Chris might go to the Brett direction for this. So
I believe you're looking for Get Good.
Well, it's kind of related to that. So I started off the game, and then, you know, I go traverse the world. I get owned by this dude mounted in a horse, and I'm like, damn, this is right off the gate. All right. So I'm going to go to a different part, different direction. So I go a different direction, and then I get to a part where I see like this kind of some ruins, and there's just like a whole bunch of NPC enemies, and then I just beat all of them. I kill all of them, and then I find a what are they now, graces?
Find a grace. Just call them bonfires, man.
Bonfires. I find a bonfire. I go to the bonfire, and I'm like, the first thing that came into my mind, and I'm still not sure what to think about it, whether I should be excited about it or not. I get to the bonfire, and I'm like, there's a whole bunch of NPC enemies, and I could probably farm here for a little bit more before I continue. And there's my dilemma. I'm like thinking, is that a good thing? Like, should I be worried? Like, should I be, you know, should I be excited to farm on these dudes? Cause I know that it'll greatly help improve my chances to, you know, progress the game. Or should I be disappointed that I can't keep moving forward because I need to, you know, grind on more enemies before I can continue and have a shot.
No, be fucking grateful, man. Anytime you get a grinding spot, fucking go for it. That's what I do.
No.
You know,
I'm saying, should I be happy about it, about being forced to do it?
Well, think about it like this, right?
As an experience,
you're either gonna spend 3 or 4 hours grinding on these guys, or 3 or 4 hours trying to beat this boss. Either way, you're gonna lose all this time. May as well spend it grinding on the guys, so when you get to the boss, you can kill them. You know what I'm saying? So I'm grateful for shit like that. I'm always trying to find the perfect grinding spots, you know. In any like when you get into RPG, you find that town, you're like, oh, there's a bunch of high level enemies. Let me go fuck these guys up. Come back to town, heal, go up, you know, do that over and over and over again. That's great. I understand what you mean. Like, it does hold you back, but you're gonna be hitting your head against the wall, like, against bosses, you know, if you don't level up. So you got no choice, you know.
Yo, man, yeah, I had to kill some poison turtles, man. I didn't feel good about
it. It happens, well, man.
The grinding also helps too, because now in this game you can sell things.
Yeah.
So drops help, because you might find better armor pieces, you might find better weapons, and then leveling up will help you further on in the game. Because remember, that first boss, even though he's hard, whatever comes after him is even harder. He's the first guy. I know they're saying, like, oh, if he's the litmus test, and I agree with that. He's the litmus test for the game. If you can't handle this guy and get past Margit, then you're wasting your time. You got to figure it out. And then, you know, you open up the whole world. But the other Elden Lords that you have to kill are going to be just as challenging or even more challenging. Yeah. And then there's always an enemy they stick in there. And it's not a boss. It's like always optional. Dark Souls 3 had it too. It's a fucking dragon that's like the size of an apartment building. And it's about the challenge, right? But you have to work towards it, right? So don't fret about like grinding or whatever. Like I grind on those giants. You see those?
Yeah, man.
I don't know if you traveled and you've seen those giants walking around. Yeah, I killed them.
Yeah.
Because I'm hoping one of them drops their sword, because their great sword is looks really cool. And two, they give you a lot of souls. So it's like it's totally worth it. I go up, I farm them, and they'll level up, right? And then that helps you in the long run. That helps you fight other things. Because there's other things in the world, too. There's just NPCs hanging around. When I rode north, there's NPCs. I hit them, and I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm doing like 2 or 3 damage. I'm like, shit, I was beefy before, and now I'm suck when I'm up here. So, you know, it helps you.
Yeah.
By the way, man, Carlos, man, that night, you know, just walking around, literally as soon as you start the game, I was that baby from that meme. I walk in, whoa, turned right to the fuck back. You know, I hit him like, oh, I took no energy, go the fuck back.
Yo, I saw that guy, so I see that guy, and I'm like, just looks intimidating. I don't even know what his HP is, how strong he is. He looks intimidating, and I'm like, man, let's get ready. It's about to go down. And I'm like, let's see how I do. I get one shot at the first time, and then the second time, like, I kind of see what he's trying to do. So I dodge and shit, and fucking shooting all these fucking light beams at this motherfucker, not doing hardly any damage. You know, like almost 10 times I'm gone. I'm like, all right, I got him to 65% of his health. All right, that time to move on. This guy, he's he's probably going to be like someone that I need to fight later.
Yeah.
Well, and that's
go ahead.
Oh, that's what the game is telling you. I mean, the thing about any Souls games is that they're quietly teaching you things. Through environmental cues, but even more through like just basic gatekeeping of can you do this yet? What do you need to do this? Is this the time for you to be here? And it's that thing's there to give you a mode of humility and teach you that sometimes you just need to fucking run. And it does a pretty good job of that. Like, I always thought it was cool how they just, because every Souls games has, you know, the first couple zones are like that. It's like, very good. Now you're going to have an enemy that you have to parry. Can you parry? And you're like, nah, but I've been doing well so far. And Souls is like, yeah, but you're going to need to parry to get past here. And eventually you have to. One thing I want to point out, though, in response to your original question, is I'm not in the other camp. I absolutely think you should take advantage of a grinding spot, but my reasons are a little bit different. Because this happened to me. I'm imagining you were at the gatefront ruins where there's all of those guys, and I'm pretty sure that's designed to be a little bit of a kind of a farming area. But here's the thing: so when you sit down to farm, a couple things are going to happen. Obviously, you're going to start killing people. You're going to get the experience. You're going to be able to level up. But as Chris said, gear's going to drop, and that's going to make your life easier. But the big thing that I noticed, because it happened to me all over again, because, you know, I was a little rusty until shit clicked again. I went back there and I started farming stuff. And I go back there now with just about every new weapon, because you really have to know your weapons. Like, you have to know that shit inside and out. You know, how far, how fast, how easily can you dodge out of an attack kind of thing. So going and farming those areas over and over and over again makes you familiar with both your weapons and the mechanics of the game. So you'll find that, you'll get souls, you get runes, and you'll get experience, but more importantly, you'll get good. And that's kind of what that saying means. Like, until you internalize it and understand why you're having problems, you can level up as much as you want. The game, you're not going to be able to beat the game with just a super high level character. You still need to know how to play. For instance, you need to know how to dodge through an enemy attack using the invincible frames in the very middle of that to negate damage that you could have taken. You need to learn to, because we just had this last night, right, Chris? We had to learn to, this game does blocking ever so slightly different. So you run in, you throw your shield up, you run in, and you have your shield there. It catches your first blow, but you still have to roll out of subsequent ones or you're going to get stun locked and absolutely destroyed. So there is kind of a method to it.
Yep.
Yeah, the thing that pisses me off that I've noticed it's a habit sometimes. I accidentally press square sometimes and I'm like, God fucking damn.
Oh yeah, that happened to me too. It sucks. All right, let's move on because we do have other questions that are not about Elden Ring, although the next one is this one's kind of interesting though. This one is from Mob Hits. He goes, with Elden Ring being hailed as the greatest video game that has ever been, you know, of this generation, you know, hyperbole there. Will From Software finally be given the respect it deserves, or does it still need to prove its power? Keep in mind, If Elden Ring wins Game of the Year this year, it'll be two in a row because Sekiro won. But From Software already has the claim. It already has the recognition. They're
Bloodborne won Game of the Year too. Bloodborne, and then the year after that, it got Sekiro, didn't it?
Yeah, Sekiro. He's talking about the official Game Awards, you know, Jeff Keighley Awards. Sekiro won. I don't understand, Mob Hits. If you're there, you could explain a little bit. Because I'm like, they've been hailed for years, you know. Like, ever since Dark Souls, people are like, yo, From Software is the shit, you know? I think it's a little less cult now. Yeah. I think after Sekiro, like, that game sold 8 million. They're pretty fucking mainstream now, you know?
For games like this, they define the genre. Everything's the Dark Souls of this, the Dark Souls of that. It's a term. It's almost like Photoshop. It's in the zeitgeist. Dark Souls is a term now for a game genre or a hard game in another genre.
Exactly.
Know?
Yeah. So that recognition's already been there. Like, that's why I kind of argue it started with Dark Souls, the first one. It became a meme, you know?
Became a verb.
Yeah. It became a verb. Yeah. Basically, you know?
I think this is the point where it's hit critical saturation, though.
Oh, yeah. Sekiro did. It's like 8 million. Like, yeah. So that's why this game blew the fuck up. People were ready, you know?
Well, we were talking about that. Like, you kind of see this exponential growth. Like, for every person who plays a Souls game and enjoys it, they're going to get a friend to try it. Probably just one. So, you know, Dark Souls 2 had exponential, you know, twice as many as Dark Souls 1. And Dark Souls 3 had twice as many as Bloodborne twice as many as Dark Souls 2. Like, I know it's not actually twice as many. It's just easy math.
It keeps going up, basically, you know?
Yeah. It keeps doubling, basically.
It does, yeah.
I think at this point, you know, with Sekiro, there was a good chunk of the gaming population that gave it a try. With Demon's Souls 3, a lot of people had heard about it at that point. It just, by the time Demon's Souls 3 came out, everybody had Souls a friend.
Wouldn't it be Demon Souls 4 officially?
I'm getting confused with all these games.
We're counting Demon Souls.
Yeah. Everybody had a friend who had played it. And so I think that I'm kind of torn with Sekiro because I feel like Sekiro reached out outside the normal Souls audience a little bit, did something a little bit different, and gathered its own audience. And then it came back with this and just kind of pulled the threads of everything it's done for the last decade. And I think at this point, I'm trying to think, out of every gaming group that somebody might have, somebody in that has played Elden Ring at this point. We've reached that point where everybody has a friend who's tried the game. It's no longer something you've heard about on the internet. You know somebody who's playing it.
And also, do you see the Twitch numbers? I mean, Brian could probably tell us right now, but it's number one. It's been number one since it came out. On there, and the number of people watching, I remember the other night, it was like over half a million people watching. That's nuts for a Souls game.
So it's like the recognition's already there, man. You know,
it's the number one game right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's the third day in a row.
Yeah. From Software has been trending all day on Twitter, you know? So yeah, that lets you know right there. Okay, let's move on. Next question here. All right. Also, Mob Hits. Oh, hold on. I got the wrong question ready, but this is a very interesting. Because I didn't even consider this shit. But I'm like, you might be onto something, Mr. Mob Hit. Basically, the question is, do you think the bad blood between Nintendo and Sony is the reason that Nintendo is not allowing Super Smash Brothers in this year's Evo tournament? All versus right. something else? I never even thought, I'm like, oh, shit, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's the first thing Kristen told me that. And I was like, I was like, yeah, because Nintendo hates Sony. That makes perfect sense. And we've talked about this before, Tony. I've told you the stories of setting up for E3, and they will not use Sony products internally. Like even televisions, even though Sony had superior televisions, they'll buy Panasonics to put up in the E3 booths.
Yeah, just because they don't want to deal with Sony. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it makes sense. And remember, they take up two slots at EVO. It's the Melee guys will not stop playing that game. So yeah. EVO had to give them two slots. The slot for the current game and the slot for Melee because they won't stop playing it. Now Nintendo's like, nah, no more Smash Brothers, period. So it's that's exactly what it is. Because Nintendo always pays for that slot. They always want that slot in there. They always want Smash Brothers because, right, it's... That slot gives them kind of residual income, right? So like sales on the game, people to get people interested. That's why you want that in EVO. So to pull it out is huge. That's how much they just don't want to deal with Sony.
Yeah, yeah. So go ahead.
It's funny because it's almost like the new wife, you know, getting mad at the old wife, even though it was their fault.
That's a good analogy. Yes.
Oh, hold on. We may have to do a history lesson here. Jay Shep goes, "Hey, Chris, I didn't know this never ending beef, dude. We got to go back. We got to have a little history lesson here, don't we?
Oh yeah.
You know, Chris, you want to do it or should I? Actually, you worked at Nintendo, so you may as well say you got to go back to the whole Super Nintendo CD.
Nintendo CD. Yeah. Yeah. So, way back in the SNES days. Sony was commissioned by Nintendo to create a CD add-on for the Super Nintendo, and the project was called Super Nintendo CD. What Sony didn't know while they were developing this, and they actually had working prototypes and stuff, and actually recently a guy had it in his attic somehow, and it went up for auction. The Nintendo made a backdoor deal with Philips because they were actually scared, and I think guys like Miyamoto and stuff did not trust Sony, and they went and made a deal with Philips to do a partnership, which is why Philips made those crappy CDI games.
That's right.
So he did not trust the media. He did not trust CD media because of piracy, and he did not trust Sony. Even though they had worked with Sony before, Sony is the reason the Super Nintendo has amazing sound because Sony's audio chips are in the Super Nintendo. So this partnership made sense. It's like, okay, they're going to make CD hardware and extra graphics and whatever to add on to the Super Nintendo. And Sony did not find out about this until that year's E3. I don't know if it was like 96 or CES.
CES,
Nintendo got up there and said, we have a partnership with Philips to do interactive CD stuff, and they're going to make these Zelda games and Mario games, and we're going to partner with them. Sony did not find out till the world found out. That was a fucking like backstab of his, you know, historic proportions, like where one game company just did another one dirty like that. So after that, Sony did not have any dealings. They took the learnings from the prototype, and that's how the PlayStation was born. Mm-hmm. It is the Super Nintendo CD just advanced to the next level to be a standalone system, and that's how they created the PlayStation. So Sony entered the gaming market only because Nintendo stabbed them in the back to go over Philips, right? So that's where that beef comes from. So the point that Manny made with the old wife being pissed off even though it wasn't their fault, Nintendo is the one who caused that situation in the first place. So that animosity from Sony is justified because Sony is the one who got backstabbed and ended up taking the lemons and making lemonade, and then Nintendo got pissed at them for entering the market. And it's like, yeah, but you created that situation. You created PlayStation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, isn't that ironic? Like Nintendo created it, the entity that would eventually destroy it in the gaming industry. You know. And by the way, guys, because I'm actually surprised a lot of people in the chat right now didn't know this. Everything Chris is saying, this is not based on rumor. This is all documented facts. All of this, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's documents. You could go on YouTube, look up the CES that Manny's talking about. I forget what year it is. You can hear the conference. You can hear them make the announcement that they're working with Philips and that the whole Sony thing was just thrown to the wayside.
Yeah,
right then and there. So the thing is that animosity has never ended since then.
Nope.
It's been since the 90s. Yeah. And then the point I made was internally in Nintendo, they were not allowed to purchase any Sony products. And back then, Sony made the Vio, Vio PCs, they made laptops, they made, and obviously still today, they make televisions, make all sorts of electronics. So they did not use anything Sony made, nothing. If Sony made it, they didn't touch it.
Even it, but like some of the things like DAT, like certain types of DAT tapes and stuff like that, I think they probably did have to use, right, Chris? Because Sony was the only manufacturer of those specific things.
Well, like Beta tapes and stuff, yeah, because they, who else was making them at the time? And then Beta, obviously internally for TV and stuff, for commercials, is superior quality. So they did use that, yeah. But anything they could avoid, they avoided it. And like the, like I mentioned, the TV things, like obviously I think the Bravia is a better brand than the Panasonic. Nintendo would rather buy Panasonic TVs for E3 and never touch a Bravia in their life. And so it makes sense. It comes all the way down the line. Something as simple as Evo, Sony buys Evo, and then they now want nothing to do with it. They pull up.
Yeah. Again, I didn't, you know, really have time to think about it. Oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. That makes absolute perfect sense. You know, that bad blood still exists. I realize it's like what, fucking 30 years later, but it's still there. You know, it is still there. Take it how it is, man. All right. Move on.
Oh, and I have one more story. Oh,
and one more thing.
Just a short thing. I used to, when I went to work early, in the first year I was working there, I used to bring my PSP to work. I would get comments constantly. It's like, oh, why do you play that thing? Why do you bring that thing here? Hey, it's because I enjoy it. That was my answer. It's like, oh, that's how hated it was.
Wow. That's why, yeah, nothing. And then, I mean, you even told a shit about how, like, you couldn't bring up what the competition was doing either. You know?
Oh, I would mention Xbox, yeah, and they would tell us, like, oh, we don't look at our competitors or whatever. Like, basically, shut up, don't tell me what Xbox is doing.
It's crazy.
I gotta say, Chris, I have never heard a more Batman-esque origin story for something like that. Like, it's like one of his villains, like, oh yeah, it was just some mild-mannered scientist working in a lab until Batman got into a fight and kicked him into a vat of acid, and now he's a supervillain fucking up Batman's world, and Batman has the audacity to be mad at him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by the way, quick correction. Sony is not based out of California. PlayStation is. There's a difference.
That's right, yeah.
Sony's still
based Sony's out of Japanese.
Yeah, they're still Tokyo, right? I believe they're based out of... So it's a correction there. Sony is not PlayStation. All right.
Isn't it SOA out of there?
Sony of America. Yeah. No. It's not. That's Sony of. I mean, Sony of America has a headquarters.
Sony computer.
Mother company. You know, is based out of Japan.
Yeah. No. I know it's based out of Japan. I thought that it went like mother company was in Japan. Then there's Sony of America, and then PlayStation. Their headquarters is here under Sony of America. Is that not right?
No, PlayStation has its own headquarters.
You're thinking of Nintendo of America. That's American Reservation, yeah.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Let's move on. Next question. What? Assyrian Air Force. All right. Can Sony... This is an interesting... It's a speculative question, though. Can Sony fix Project Spartacus if it fails to deliver at launch? Will Sony release a PlayStation app for TVs? Sony already did that already. The PlayStation app for TVs, for Sony TVs though. But here's the thing, like, again, we don't know how this thing's going to land, so we don't know if they could fix it. So I don't know. It's just a pure...
Are you asking if they can course correct before they stick a landing that they may regret?
No, he's asking if it comes out and it's not received well, can they fix it after that?
Okay, he's not asking... Can they fix it so when it comes out, it will be receivable?
Because
the way I look at this is like, yeah, they're headed towards launching something that's just not going to compete. That's going to be a bad look. So it's a different question whether they can fix that before it launches or then try and
His question is for after the fact. That's why I'm like, I don't.
Being reactive? No, man. Like, I don't know, man. Gamers hear something and they kind of settle on it then and there, and then it takes for fucking ever to get us to change our mind. We are a stubborn, closed-minded lot.
This is very true. So
a superstitious and cowardly lot.
Yeah. I guess that's the only thing we can say. If it doesn't launch right, it's going to be very hard to course correct for sure. And then we already said this. Sony has a track record of just like abandoning shit if it doesn't take
this
off.
Like a lot of things, a lot of their situations is the usual Sony toe dip. Or PlayStation toe dip. So this is a more active toe dip that they're doing on this one, but it's the usual thing. So if this thing starts to do some numbers, then they'll start to effectively push it more. What was the PlayStation VR? PlayStation VR was a toe dip that did better than they expected, and then they started to put even more more effort into it.
Yeah.
Any one of those things that they've ever done has ever been a toe dip.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was a successful toe dip. Shout out to Mob Hitsman, 100 bits. Appreciate that. Yeah, there's not really much more we could, again, it's a totally speculation type of question. There's nothing we could add. All right.
To go back to, like, again, toe dips, even PlayStation Plus was a toe dip. When it originally started, PlayStation Plus was garbage. All it had was free game trials, and it didn't have the free games every month or any of that sort of stuff. But as the time progressed, they saw what the competition was doing and started to try to improve it. So now that they have that free games every month with your subscription.
Yeah. Thing. All right. Next question. Also from Assyrian Air Force. Will Steam Deck popularize hybrid consoles? Nintendo Switch already did that, actually.
Nintendo
Switch did that. Yeah, I know. But it's Nintendo. Go ahead.
We always say Breath of the Wild, ironic, as a joke, Breath of the Wild inspired everything.
It did.
But what we can say is that Switch pretty much inspired Steam Deck.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and those other knockoffs that came out in between them, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it already happened. And then the other part of the question was, will Sony and Microsoft release their own version of a Steam Deck? Sony, I don't think they're going to go back to that. They're not going to go back to
handhelds. Going back to handhelds? Yeah. I don't know.
And I don't think Microsoft's interested either.
Yeah, I think since their last one didn't do amazingly, yeah. I think they're not going to do it. But, I mean, here's another side question. Would Sony ever decide, okay, you know what, we can make... What if we were to make a deal with Steam or Valve to essentially bring the PlayStation app, their PlayStation app, or even Microsoft bringing their application to that platform?
Well, we already see Valve said they're perfectly happy to have Microsoft put the Xbox app on there. They want it to happen.
Well, there you go.
You know, so there you go. And Sony, I mean, PS Now already works on PC, so. You know, so it won't be too much of a stretch for Sony to try to bring it over. So I think that'll be the route they do instead of them trying to make their own system. They'll be like, yeah, our games are on Steam Deck now, you know? Mm-hmm. And again, Sony has this push now where they want to have their games on more platforms. Our boy Jim Ryan said that. So, yeah, it's possible. If the only portable PlayStation you'll have is a Steam Deck, basically.
Yeah, you know? Hold on. I just want to say, Sony will half-assedly support PC at best. So that's going to be kind of a half measure because they historically don't play along real well with PC.
Well, I mean, they're getting more games on there, you know. They are trying.
They're getting more games on there, but like most of the time it's 6 months to a year later still. Like it's not we can't pretend that Sony is
But they're still getting them. That's my point, understand?
No, it's better than we used to get, sure, but that's one of those things where like I'm not going to be an apologist for treating the PC poorly or crowd poorly. It's not cool in my book, but
it's funny how like you're like is the
wait how are they treating the PC poorly? They're giving them games.
Giving them games, unlike fucking Nintendo, who's not giving them fucking shit and literally suing the fuck out of anybody who makes any sort of emulation for the damn thing.
I mean
that's more Nintendo is awful. Sony was doing
Nintendo is awful and like. You can't even do whataboutism with Nintendo because they're just so far out there in left field. You're like, I don't know, man. They just, like, whataboutism doesn't normally work, but especially with Nintendo, you're like, oh, well, they don't give a shit about their customers, so.
I just think it's unfair to say, oh, Sony sucks at PC. I'm like, they're doing.
No.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, but to put to compare them, you know, and I hate to engage in what about as myself, but to compare them to their only direct competitor in that space, which would be Microsoft, or the only analog, I guess, not even competitor. They really just kind of toss PC a bone every once in a while, like, yeah, we'll give you God of War eventually. Like that's not if you as a company want to start having your service spread across multiple platforms, you can't blatantly favorite one like that. It's just not going to work. That's, well, I think.
Remember, it's going to take a while. They're not suddenly going to just, like, everything's going to be on PC. Remember, Microsoft's already, you know, they are PC, so obviously that's an easier transition or whatever, or easier to have it on there. But Sony, they still got to work their way to it, you know. And I think they're not doing like the greatest job, but they're doing a job of it at least, you know. Think about it. We got Death Stranding relatively fast. It was like 6 months later, you know.
And it's actually a better port than the Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, and the God of War one is highly praised, that port, you know. And you know, we got Uncharted's coming eventually, you know, this year. So you know, they're getting in there, they're trying their shit out because they obviously don't want to hamper their main moneymaker, you know, the PlayStation.
Well, just going to what you said, Brett, you said they're favoring one platform. It just so happens to be the one that they created.
Yeah,
so
they're gonna favor their own, obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, like, let's just say it then, like, Microsoft doing that shit.
It's the same thing. PC, Microsoft, it's the same shit.
Microsoft did it Microsoft did it off of necessity. Remember, they released Halo Combat Evolved in PC, and then they just decided to get rid of Halo for the rest of the next two generations until they got desperate.
Yeah, when Xbox
they got their thumbs fucking broken to do it. I still got what I want in the end.
No, but you're saying that it's like a standard. It's not. You know, they did it off of necessity, and Sony isn't a PC company. They're doing PC.
Ironically enough, yes, they are.
Also,
yeah, you need to explain
Sony
this.
Sony builds
one.
PCs. It's one of the things their company was founded on doing. Yeah, of course they used to.
Line died out.
But that has nothing to do with PlayStation.
They don't make you the said Sony is not a PC company. Yeah, Sony is not an operation company.
It's not. They're not the same as Microsoft in general.
So you're telling Microsoft, me I go to a computer store. There's the Dell. There's the Asus. There's the Sony. Right.
At least it used to be that way. Yes.
Yeah, there was the Sony Vaio, but the thing is,
they make laptops.
Yeah, they make laptops. They make desktops.
Pretty sure they used to make desktops. Yeah.
Well,
yes.
Well, they don't anymore. You know,
they don't anymore. But the thing about it is that, like, that business, the PC business, wasn't there. That was one portion of their business. Whereas Microsoft PC is their whole business.
Yeah, Sony is not a PC company. That's what we're trying to say.
And the thing is that they're all. It's one. It's they're seeing their Xbox division and everything. You know, anything in their game division as one specific division as part of the wider thing that is Microsoft and Windows.
I know. Whereas
Sony doesn't have an operation system that they're doing. You know, they're working with. They're not creating sort of a specific ecosystem that links every single one aspect of their, you know, company.
You guys, I was being cheeky. All right, you said Sony is not a PC company. Yes, they were. Microsoft never built PCs. That was the only point I was making. Yeah. If one of these two was a PC company. Sony
was not a PC company. They made PCs. They weren't a PC company.
They made hardware. They didn't make the software. So yeah, Microsoft has made the software since the beginning of, you know, this whole PC gaming. Yeah.
And that's why it's called Microsoft. It's a software company, not a PC company. Yeah.
Micro hard.
That's why they're no micro hard.
You know. Anyway, yes.
Really go ahead, Brian. About the Sony Vaio, it actually got sold off in 2014 because of poor sales.
Yeah,
no one that was there. That was part of their. You know, when they were essentially trying to make the company more profitable, and they sold off a lot of their different brands.
Yeah, but isn't that? I mean, it's kind of like saying Sony's not a television company. I mean. Kind of, they are.
But that's just one of the things they do. They're not.
I know. But I'm saying for something that at least that they used to have a hand in, I would expect them to be a little bit more involved. And yes, I agree. Microsoft did it out of necessity. But
Sony has never been in like fully involved in their hardware. You know what I mean? Like they make the tape player and not the tapes.
But why does that matter?
Why does
like
it matter?
If we're talking about as a company? It is close. It shares a space with PC. Like
I would say that Brett, the reason why they don't and we've said this before, they don't want to undermine the thing that the hardware that they're currently creating. Whereas Microsoft just sees it all as one.
In other words, it's
you know, like, again, I feel like it's just that them just not trying to undermine their own business. Now, if their business strategy switched around toward, a more open system like what Microsoft is, where essentially they're just responsible for creating software and that's it, and sort of uniting a lot of it, I think that would be a different thing. But I don't think that they're, because they're making so much within that space, I don't think they want to undermine it by essentially releasing essentially a superior version of a console game at the same exact time as the one that they're supposed to be on their supposedly superior console.
No, I get why they're doing it. And I'm just kind of shining a light on, I think that's where the conversation actually sits more, is their approach. Whereas, you know, Sony is guarding its ecosystem. That is its product. Microsoft is making a platform, and that's why it's doing what it's doing. And of course, they're both doing different things. But are they equally good for the consumer? And if we're really if we're talking about something that's a PC, essentially selling PCs here, like, Sony has always had one foot in the PC market. Yes, that's better than nothing, but it's also worse than 2 feet.
Yeah, for sure. But again, they're at least trying to get these PlayStation games. And I'm going to just refer to the chat here. They said we got off topic, which we have. So,
well, yeah, I was the point I was trying to get to before I kind of got sidetracked was Microsoft, being that it is a platform and not an ecosystem, is not worried about console sales. So of course they're going to very happily be like, yes, you go ahead and make the hardware, which is where we usually take a loss, and then we'll do all the stuff that normally makes us money. So like, are they going to come out and say, is Microsoft going to come out and compete against themselves and shoot themselves in the foot so they can take a loss selling more hardware? No, they don't need to. They're a platform.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. All right. This one is also related to Steam. This is from Dumeke, who's been joining us tonight. The chat. All right. He goes, what are the Rodan Crew's thoughts on the Steam Deck now that reviews are landing? Are there any changes to hype, or are your thoughts unchanged? I haven't seen any of these reviews, and I purposely will not look at any reviews until I get the Steam Deck myself. So I don't know if this thing's being trashed right now. I don't know if it's being praised. I legit do not know. So please let me know. I honestly don't know how this thing's being
received. There's been a couple of things, you know, a couple of guys saying it's not finished, which I don't believe that they should be saying that at this time, because there's still quite a bit of, you know, things that they need to do on top of it. It's still a review. It's still an early review model. But then again, you know, people are getting Steam Decks right now.
Yeah, they are.
Gabe Newell is literally fucking hand delivering them in Seattle.
Oh,
anyway,
right? Motherfuckers lost weight, maybe, from delivering all those Steam Decks.
But I think you know, it's been like, you know, some people are saying that's very good and something. You know, at least Digital Foundry did a very, you know, extensive review on how games are actually running, and it's pretty much as expected, you know, in the range of 1080p to 720p, you know, running with most or some of the bells and whistles. It's essentially powerful enough to run a PC game within regular parameters, you know, not like super, like, you know, maxed out.
Quick question. Run good. I don't mean it to sound like I'm going to talk shit here, but I feel like there's no way to avoid sounding like it. I promise I'm not. What's the context in which these kind of performance reviews are being taken place, in the sense that we all know that having a PC requires a little bit more effort than just throwing a game in, pressing play, and going. So Are we judging this thing by the same parameters which we would usually judge a PC, where we give that a little bit more leeway? Or are we judging this like we would, say, against what the Nintendo Switch does, where it sucks, but it always works?
I don't think it's – I think it's beyond sucking, but I – you know, because it definitely runs things better than a Switch does. But it's not – it's – you're not going to be getting full high-end, you know, with it.
I mean, in terms of, like, stability and performance. So, like, a lot of times when you get to build a new PC, right, like, how often and how much do you really need to fuck around with drivers? I mean, fuck, even just having – the graphic card that you have, whenever you buy a game, you usually have to spend the first little bit kind of messing around with it, or at least you used to. Maybe things have gotten better. So if you have to then, say, like, jump into Steam Deck and be like, wow, this game isn't playable right off the bat, this thing sucks, or do you expect to have to put the same amount of time updating drivers and, you know,
It seems to be fairly plug and play from what a lot of the reviews seem to say. But obviously, if you want a better experience, you can start, you know, getting under the hood and start moving things around, moving sliders around to get the best experience. And then they also, at least Digital Foundry said that there is, they don't know how much of a bottleneck they have, that it has. But remember that Steam Deck has a what is it? It runs on a Linux OS and it has to run that other program in there to sort of run PC Proton. Games. Yeah, Proton. So they don't know how much they haven't. They said something about a bottleneck in there, but they don't know how much of it is and how much of it will improve in the final version.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of reviews and they've been fairly positive, specifically about the performance of the games while they're running. They mentioned like sort of like the controls, one of them even tried Elden Ring. So like Manny mentioned, they're essentially 720p, 1080p games, medium to high settings, which is pretty good. I think Digital Foundry even compared it to sort of PS4 performance. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think one of the bad stuff about the reviews is battery life, I think, is one of the things that I've seen. And also the screen just not being, OLED or something like that is another thing. Other than that, I've heard good things about the controls. I've heard good things about the performance of the actual console or the system while it's playing the games. I'm still excited, but I wasn't expecting to get it anytime soon because, gaming coming to Texas.
By the way, Blitz says that that it lasts 90 minutes, so it lasts about as long as a gaming laptop then. Unplugged. That's how long it typically lasts.
Well, no. Okay, that's not quite right. It depends on the game that you're playing. So I think he's referencing the Digital Foundry video where they said that, yeah, if you're playing like a very intensive game, then yeah, it will last around that time frame. But if you're playing something like an indie game, then they've seen up to like, is it 6 hours?
Oh, wow.
Playing some games. But I think that was, I don't remember which game it was, but it was in the idea or in the realm of like Shovel Knight type game. So again, performance will vary for obvious reasons.
Makes sense. We'll see. Again, because it's possible, I'm not saying this is locked in stone, possible I may review this thing. So that's why I'm purposely not looking at any reviews. I want to come into it clean, we'll see. Either way, I'm getting my shit. It just doesn't matter. I'm getting it regardless. Go ahead, Brian.
From the stuff that I've seen, it's pretty much exactly what I thought in terms of everything else. Again, battery, I didn't expect it to be anything like changing the world. I thought, okay, this thing will last like 3 hours or something. Like it's a freaking it's a phone battery. Batteries have not really improved in like last couple of years, so I don't expect anything to change on that front. And performance-wise, it's pretty much what I expected. It's like, yeah, this thing will probably be in the region of like PS4 type performance, but of course, if you can tweak things, set things down to low, you can maybe get like a good frame rate and stuff. Okay, fine. Given the specs, like this thing is like 15 watts of power. Like,
wow. The
thing is, yeah, like it's ridiculous. Like,
that's crazy. I don't
understand where the power comes from.
The APU,
yeah,
right?
It's so low powered. I'm like, how the hell do you even get
that? How does that even work? How is that possible? Wow.
That's just the weird thing. So yeah, it is exactly what I thought it would be, given the specs and the price points and whatnot. Everyone's been really raving about the controls and how it's like, hey, this thing gives you so much control and you can like do, everything is nice and easy to work with. Okay, great. Yeah, as Carla said, the screen's not great. It's more like an indoor screen. It's just kind of there, which is, again, fine. I don't really care. The one thing I'm excited to see, which I've not seen in any of the reviews yet, is how well it works as a Steam Link device. So being able to stream your PC games to your Steam Deck, because that's what I'll be doing, because I have a 3080, so why the fuck not?
There you go.
It makes sense, I'm at home, because I'm not going outside with a Steam Deck, because why? So I have a PC, boot up the PC, play games like Maximum Ultra, and then stream into the Steam Deck and get like amazing games, amazing performance.
Or you can just play them on PC if you're home.
Yeah, but then I'll have to like get up and get to the chair and say, I don't want to do that. Like, yeah. Maybe I'm in bed, maybe I'm in the bathroom, maybe I'm in the garden.
Makes sense.
I'm in the rooftop.
Yeah, Brian, what's up with the rooftop parties, man?
Coming soon.
All right, man.
Yo, that's a confirmation.
That's a confirmation, yo. I'm playing. By the way, you see Hip Hop Gamer? He's playing Elden Ring with cheat codes on. Yeah, and some guy invaded his game. So he's doing, you know, he said he was offline, but some guy invaded his game and he won for obvious reasons. The guy couldn't hit him. You know, he was taking no damage. So
yeah, that's not cool.
That was an NPC.
Oh, was it an NPC? Okay.
Yeah.
He got really hyped about that.
About he was being playing invaded offline. Or beating him?
No, about beating the guy. He's like, yeah, if you come in my game, I'm beating you.
Yeah, well, yeah,
no. like, yeah. yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, let's move on. The hell are we? Oh, hold on. I missed a question here.
Whoa, whoa.
Almost missed a question. This one's kind of officially the last question that, but we got a couple of extras as well, so we'll probably go mm-hmm. through those, you know? All right, let me set this up real quick. Also from Dume. All right. Are there any upcoming games with confirmed release dates that you are super hyped about, but no one cares about? I know I'm not the only person hyped for Gran Turismo 7, but given it's a sim racer, the general gaming public is indifferent. I'll take Gran Turismo 7 over Horizon or Elden Ring any day. Oh, controversy right there. You know,
I mean, he may like cars.
Yeah, he likes cars. Yeah, by the way, that's another one. Gran Turismo 7, I was offered. I'm like, yeah, you know, that's one thing I said myself. I'm never going to review a single racing game ever again. That was torture when I was doing that shit.
Unless it's Burnout,
then you already know I'm going to be on top of that shit. But like a regular racing game, that's not Burnout. No, I don't want to review that shit anymore.
You do an F-Zero.
Nah, let somebody else do it. I don't care about Nintendo, you know. What's the question? Oh, yeah, games. Here's the thing. Because we live in a bubble sometimes, so the guys in my circle are hyped about this game, but I don't see a lot of talk about it. That fucking Ninja Turtles game, man, I want that shit, you know? But that, wait, that's not a confirmed release, because it was...
No, it doesn't.
That shit don't count then.
They've just been showing previews and things of it.
Yeah, so. because I was thinking about this question like a couple of days ago. I was like, yeah, there's not really anything... I mean, God of War, that's not even a... Like, that's not confirmed yet, you know, for this year. But yeah, other than that, God of War, I don't see anything I want to get this year. This year looks grim, just like last year, you know? So, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. I think this is just, you know, something we have to deal with this generation. Like, this generation is not going to get good for a while, you know, because of all these fucking delays or whatever, you know? So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. If I don't fucking know. The Ninja Turtles game was the only one I was hyped for, but then it's like, who the hell knows when that's coming out, you know?
The only game that I can think of that I'm looking forward to this year that has a definitive release date is
that no one's Starfield. Hyped about. Yeah, that no one's hyped about
Starfield, but people are hyped for that, so it doesn't really count.
He says confirmed date or not. Okay, Ninja Turtles for me then. No one's really talking about that outside of my crew, obviously. You know, but again, I was thinking about it, it's like, damn, this year looks fucking barren like last year. Last year was terrible. You know.
Yo, man, new Pokemon out this year.
Oh, fuck that shit. You know?
Yo, by the way. Are they releasing a Pokemon every year now?
Probably.
Much has become an annual franchise, right? Yeah. Like, the Arceus was last year. The year before that was,
it was this year.
Sword and Shield.
was this year. It was January.
Oh, so there are two this year. I know. You're right.
Yeah, they released Pokemon Atreus or whatever the fuck it's called.
But it seems like they're leaning on Pokemon really hard. And it's funny, Carlos, you notice, like, still no Zelda news, no Zelda nothing.
Oh, I saw you talking about that. So today was apparently Pokemon Day. I didn't even know that was a thing. But apparently it's been going on for like 26 years. But people were like, wait. There's a new Pokemon game coming out this year, another one. Does that mean we're not going to get Breath of the Wild? You probably are, you know.
Well, the thing about it is that it's a different studio that's making those Pokemon games. That's not all Nintendo.
Well, right? I mean, yeah, this Game Freak doing the Pokemon games, right? But in that time, they were able, like, think about it. 2 years ago, Sword and Shield dropped, and now they drop. They did this Arceus game, now they're doing a whole new that Scarlet Violet game, right? That's going to drop the end of this year. And it's been how long since Breath of the Wild? We're at 6 years, right? 5 years.
Five years.
Yeah. So 5 years. Somehow using the same engine, it's a sequel to an existing game. So you have the map, you have a lot of the assets, you just have to construct two stuff. 5 years, they haven't been able to do that. Somehow they did this with Ocarina of Time, turned around in 1 year, turned around Majora's Mask. But we're still at 5 years, we haven't seen anything. There was two trailers in 5 years.
Since 2017, we've had Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, which was just sort of like a repackaged Sun and Moon that came out the year before. Then later, the next year is Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. Mm-hmm. Then Sword and Shield. then Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, and then Arceus, and then they're going to do Scarlet and Violet, the new ones.
Yeah, and they doubled up this year because Diamond and Pearl, they outsourced that, and that was a holiday game, and Arceus came out January, like Brian said, and then so Scarlet and Violet comes out in holiday. But, you know, it's like, so all those Pokemon games in the same span of time, in 5 years, Zelda game with Breath of the Wild, launch with the Switch. And that's it.
Listen, if we follow the usual cadence when it comes to these Zelda games, the Breath of the Wild 2 will be like a launch game for the next Nintendo system and also come out on Switch. You know, this is that would be the third game in a row, right? If that happens, because that happened with Skyward Sword. Sword. That happened with Breath of the Wild. Twilight Remember, Breath of the Wild was on the Wii U. People forget that shit.
Right. Yeah. It was a double.
Twilight Princess.
Twilight Princess was double. Mm-hmm. Yeah, GameCube and Wii.
Mm-hmm. There you go, then. Oh, by the way, real quick, my colleague or former colleague, Jordan Miner, he replied to my tweet about Nintendo Smash. I didn't know this. Nintendo's launching their own fighting game tournament.
Well, of course they are.
They have to, right?
Yeah. There you go. It has to now. You know, where else are you going to play Smash Brothers from 1996?
knowing Nintendo, they're not gonna allow 1996 Smash Bros.
You never know. They'll put those guys in a corner. You know.
No, they won't do that.
No, they're gonna pimp the new
even,
one.
It was even a problem to get it into Evo, getting the old ones into Evo.
Yeah. Well, the only reason you know they got it into Evo is because those fans kept screaming to you know Evo guys like, all right, just shut these guys up, put them in a corner. You know. Because, like, again, I've said this a million times, Smash Brothers has no business being at Evo. That shit is, that's not a real fighting game, you know? It's a party game.
Yeah.
All right, moving on here. All right, now we're going to get some bonus questions, because we still got a little bit of time here. All right, Dumeke. All right. Is there a genre that you used to love that you now cannot get into? Currently, I'm struggling to play through Horizon Forbidden West, and I'm thinking I might just park it for a bit. The main reason is that is not so much open world fatigue, but I'm just not enjoying the map being littered with icons. First, Tall Neck, hammer that home. It might be my OCD. Elden Ring is sounding good, but I suck at Souls games. Actually enjoying Pokemon or Atreus a lot more than Horizon.
You can get rid of the icons on
Horizon. Yeah, you can. You could get rid of all of them, dude.
It asks you before you even start. It says, "Do you want to play with I forgot what the verbiage was, but essentially it says, "Do you want to play with a whole bunch of quest icons and map icons and or none of them?"
Yeah, so you can disable that. But
here's the thing about that: like, you can disable it, and I've tried to do so before as somebody who likes that kind of thing. The problem is the game is designed with those maps. Like, there's no environmental clues or anything like that. And you just kind of notice a lot of copying and pasting, and that it just doesn't work very well. The games that do that, and I'm not even talking about Souls games, the games that do that, you know, they'll tell you, oh, you want to go up the road, hang a left at the big tree kind of thing. They don't give you enough of that in a lot of games where you can turn that stuff off. Now, I can't say anything about Horizon, though, because if it's asking you to turn it off at the very beginning, maybe they did spend the time and put that stuff in. But most of the time, I find it kind of lacking, and you just... There's a difference between not having quest markers on and just not having any idea what the fuck you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, he didn't know you could do that. He's like, I'm going to turn them off right now. So there you go. But yeah, as to the question itself, is there a genre you used to love that you can't get into anymore? I hate to say this.
I know what it is.
All right, let's see if you know. I
take a second guess.
Manny, you already know. Fighting games were my genre in the 90s. I was the shit. But now, it feels like... I know I've said this on the show many times. It feels like you got to have a fucking PhD to get into these games. You got to know so fucking much. You got to spend so much time. And then the fact that when... And I know this was a problem back in the day too, right? But like, you know, with like Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Street Fighter 2 Hyper. I get that. But I don't like these season passes where you get the game and then it's like, oh, here's a season. Here's some more characters. Like, I don't want to deal with this shit. And it just seems like the games are just way too catered for the FGC crowd. You know, it's like fighting games used to be kind of for everybody. Now they're just for these people and that's it, and that kind of bothers me, you know.
And there's a whole bunch of terminology that's attached to it, you know. And I mean obviously, you know everybody's treating it more as a, not as a fun thing, but as a more mechanical thing.
Yeah.
And that's, and I mean, I understand why they see it that way, because that's just the way the world is sort of turned. But for me, you know, at least for that side of it with fighting games, I just don't pay attention to any of that sort of terminology, and I just sort of keep up the walled garden. I don't even go online to play those games.
Yeah, the genre is just not as fun as it used to be. And I remember, you know, obviously, because when we were playing fighting games, it was just our little community, and that was that. Mm-hmm. You know, I come to play with these guys, you know, they're doing stuff that we would never even consider. You know, like, they're like, who's your main? I'm like, what do you mean a main? He's like, the guy who you always play as. I'm like, why would you just play as one character? There's 30 of these motherfuckers. Play as all of them. Get as good as with all of them. You know, but again, they're not thinking about having fun. They're just thinking about, I need to get good with this specific character, so when I go online, I can fuck all these people up. Like, where's the fun in that, man? You know, it's like, pick, there's a bunch of characters. Go pick them all out. Try them all out. Yeah, like, yeah. you have your characters that you like, that you prefer, but it's like cycling, you know? But
our day anymore. Of fighting is dead because, yeah, like you're saying, you go to the arcade, right? You put your quarter down, you have fun, right? And if you know the moves, okay, I know how to dragon punch, I know how to fireball, I know how to throw a sonic boom. Like, you know these things. These guys are on another level. They're like, okay, it's 7 frames when I throw the fireball to do this, and then I can cancel it and go into this and do a mix-in. But I'm like, whoa, this is like another language.
Yeah. So I'm saying, you're a fucking PhD for this shit. You know?
No, man. I'll say this. Two of my best friends, they're like massive Street Fighter, or they were massive Street Fighter fans. They realized all of those things, all, you know, the frame traps, you know, doing, you know, all those things. And we went to Japan and we went to the arcades. We played against a Japanese dude. Yeah. The dream died there.
Yeah, there you go. They thought they were nice, you know?
Well, you know, it's fun. Like, you know, we, you know, if any of that, like, that's one thing you learn in New York. Right away, as soon as the Asian kid shows up at the thing, you're done.
That dude shows up, like, oh, here we go.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even challenge that, because they do get mad, right? You know, or they did. You know, when you beat them, so like, all right, I'm staying away, bro. I'm staying away. Yeah, you know. But
the tiger mom just comes out of thing. You failed.
Yeah. So yeah, I it saddens me. But I said it on the last show. I'm like, yeah, I think I'm done with Street Fighter, man. And Street Fighter was my fucking favorite game, but I think I'm done. I think I'm done, man.
I'm done with Street Fighter just for the style change. I don't like the way it looks, and now it's gotten even more generic looking. Like, hey, look, it looks almost like Tekken now. So
Anyway,
I can't say that I don't still play fighting games, because I still pick up a fighting game. I, you know, eventually want to pick up the new Guilty Gear game. Maybe if they have a version of it where it has all the shit that's in it, so I don't need to, you know, buy fucking stupid season passes every 2 weeks.
Yeah, but again, that's another example too. Guilty Gear, I want to play these games, but it's too much. I gotta know too much, you know? And that's how, like, every game, like Dragon Ball, I'm like, this is dope, and I play, I'm like, oh my god, like
that I want to say that main menu in Dragon Ball FighterZ is an egregious, horrible menu. It is the worst. It's literally that little RPG guy you gotta walk RPG. Around.
Oh, yeah, no, that's
weird. I like the little RPG, stupid. Man. I agree with you, it's stupid, but I like the little RPG guy.
It looks cool, but I mean, put that in the fucking lobby. Like, if you got like what they did with the previous Guilty Gear game. When you were in your lobby waiting to play the fighting game, you didn't need to do that. You just had your guy there. But this is the main fucking menu. You got to walk to the goddamn fighting mode.
Have you seen have you seen what it looks like for Strive? It's even worse. It's some like 2D hotel thing you have to go through. It's like, why? Just give me the menu. What the fuck is this shit? You know? So yeah, that's my answer. Manny, is that yours too?
Well, no, fighting games, I mean, it's not a genre I still play it from time, but it's not a genre that I sort of close the door on. You know what? I have to say, full on old school RPGs. Ooh. I don't hate them.
Yeah.
I don't hate them. I still love them, but I don't have the time to do it anymore. And this has happened. This happened, like, I want to say, I don't know, 13 years ago, which was the last RPGs that I played. Like, full on, like, turn based RPGs. I just can't deal with the time that needs to go into one of those games anymore.
Yeah, I remember Rogue Galaxy was the last one you played.
Rogue Galaxy was the one I played. I played most of a lot of the way through, but then eventually I stopped. I just didn't have the time anymore. I just it's sort of like me and you switched places. You know what I mean? Like, you're all into the 50 billion hour RPGs and stuff like that. You know, I think you played, what was it, Tale of Zillia or whatever, one of those games.
Oh, Tales of Arise, the last one.
Yeah. And Persona, I just don't have the patience to play them anymore. While I still do respect them and want to play them if I had the time, I can't do it. So I would have to say, you know, classic JRPGs.
Manny, when we do the what games we're playing, it's like 2022. Oh, yeah, I'm playing Persona 5, and it's like 2023. What are you playing, Manny? Yeah, you know, still chugging through that Persona 5.
No, Manny's like, I'm still playing Nier Automata, you know?
Yeah, I mean, granted, like, that's
Nier Replicant, I should say.
Nier Replicant, that's an action RPG, so it's okay. Like, it's sort of, you know, it is there, but I just, you know, it is a pretty long game, but I feel like I don't feel it as much as I would in a normal the RPG, like, especially with the grinding and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I always talk about how fucking long games are now, and I still play JRPG. But here's the funny thing about that, because I was tweeting about how I wanted to play Elden Ring on Friday. It was one of those situations. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. I was fucking tired, right? JRPGs, I like them because they actually are relaxing. You know, I like the grinding and all that. There's no relaxing in Elden Ring. You know, there's no relaxing.
No, you have to be in your A game, man.
Yeah, and I like the stories and shit. They're really cool. I like the art style. I think they look more like anime now. I think that's really cool. So I really still really enjoy JRPGs, but I do agree they can be kind of long. That's why I was like, wait, Tales of Arise is only 80 hours long? It's short, you know?
Only 80?
Yeah, think about that. That's how long some of these fucking games are. You know, but this is also why I'll never play the Legend of Heroes games. You got to play those games like 300 hours. I'm like, bro, chill with that shit.
I played Legend of Heroes Trails in the Sky, and it was like 50, 60 hours, I think.
You play like me, though?
Nah, I ain't a nerd.
You know? Oh, man. All right. Probably do one more question before we wrap up here. Yeah, Mop Hits, he threw 5 questions. Damn, bro. We'll save some of these for another show, though. Actually, no, we could do some of these.
We'll do rapid fire.
Yeah, we'll do rapid fire for two of these. Will we get mid-gen refreshes this generation? Probably not. I don't think so.
Yeah, especially with the...
It's because of the chip shortage. That's what he's saying. Like, I don't think so. Well, I still believe we'll probably get slim. Hopefully, we get a slim version of this fucking beast, you know? But, I'm pointing to my PlayStation, which is literally on my desk, because that's the only place I can play, because I can't fucking place it anywhere. You know, but no, mid-gen refreshes, I don't think that's going to happen this generation. And again, mid-gen refreshes were an answer to games not being in 4K. Like, I don't think 8K is going to become a thing right now anytime soon, you know? Also because of the chip shortage, ironically enough,
yeah,
you know?
And these fucking consoles can barely do 4K.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Xbox hits it more than PlayStation does.
Yeah. So no, we're not gonna get those. Why doesn't Sony have a first party RPG?
Rogue Galaxy was one.
No,
of their
he's talking about now. RPGs. He's talking about now. He's talking about now.
I mean, you know, I feel like, you know, their thing's working. You know, the Sony formula seems to be working. I think they'll hit. You know, they'll hit it again if the landscape changes.
Yeah, I agree. All right, and then as for the final question of the night, this one we go a little deep, even though it's speculation. With the official reveal of Street Fighter VI, do you think we're looking at a potential Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite scenario with what was shown? Will this game be do or die for Capcom at the FGC? Two kind of questions there. We don't know if it's going to be another. I hope it's not another Infinite situation. That game was fucking garbage, you know? I hope it's not. I don't think it's going to be as bad because it's still even Street Fighter. When she, it's like, what is it? It's like pizza, or even bad pizza, still good pizza. Street Fighter is like that, you know? So it'll still be fundamentally good. So I don't think it's going to be another Infinite situation, but, you know, I don't know. And as for, I don't understand, Mopeds, you're here. Can you explain what you mean by it says do or die for Capcom and FGC? I don't understand that part of the question.
I guess, you know, maybe, like, in terms of popular ways to have this in the fighting game community, you know, like when Street Fighter 5 came out, people were still doing Street Fighter 4 as the tournament game, as the main tournament game. So, you know, that community, sometimes they adopt some parts of the franchise or they just, you know, stay back with the other ones. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, if this is an exclusive to Sony again, to PlayStation, then I'm feeling like it's going to stay, because those motherfuckers are going to try to make that shit ride with Evo, You know, and they're going to promote the hell out of that.
Here's the thing, but Street Fighter was already kind of the de facto Evo game, regardless, you know?
Yeah, but like...
Now
but,
it's really going to be the de facto game, you know?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you know, normally, if, like, let's say Super Smash Bros. Melee came out, and it's like, the next one wasn't as good, and it's like, oh, Super Smash Bros. Melee is still the FGC darling where that people care about and want to see in a tournament.
Yeah. Again, we don't know. We all we saw was that trailer, so we have nothing to base it on. Yeah, that's that. All right, man. Let's wrap it up here. Do we have anything to plug? Manny, I'm looking at you.
Well, I mean, Excellence, the second Excellence graphic novel just came out from last week, so that's out in the field right now. And also, well, I mean, you know, you guys know I have a Transformers cover that I did for IDW that's going to be coming in the future. So stay tuned for that. I mean, I don't want to keep reminding you guys about it. You know, it's coming. And yeah, there's a lot of other things that I'm working on behind the scenes. Ooh. So stay tuned for those.
Exciting things for sure.
Most exciting.
Also, I guess I'll plug something. Carlos, I may drag you in here for this one too. Because I will... Not Saturday, but this weekend that's coming, I will be doing a spoiler alert. Well, not spoiler, but a spoiler cast for The Batman. So, Carlos, you already know, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm watching.
And Manny, we're watching that shit on Saturday. You'll be in town, you know.
Wait, what, this Saturday?
Yeah, because we're going to see Dream Theater on Friday, right? You're staying over. We talked about this.
Oh, shit, totally forgot. All right, good to know. Yeah. I have to reschedule a plan that I had for this weekend.
Yeah, because remember, you're coming over on Friday for Dream Theater, right? And you said you're going to sleep over. And then the plan was, the next day, I'll take you to the city, you know, to Penn Station. And since the movie theater's right there, we go see Batman, you know?
It sounded like, you know, it's funny. When we made that plan, it seemed like a world away.
Yeah. Oh, Logic Win says Dream Theater's awesome. My man knows. He knows.
Good shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So, yeah, Manny, just reconjigger stuff.
Okay.
The plan is to have the spoiler.
It's probably Sunday. Sunday,
okay.
Yeah. Or maybe Saturday night for crazy, but that's probably not going to happen. But
yeah, I'm seeing it on Friday, so I should be good.
Okay, so you wouldn't be opposed to doing a Saturday night.
I would not.
I'll talk to Dana about it because I'm down. I'm down for Saturday night as well. Saturday,
man, especially fresh out the game, man. If it's good, imagine. If it sucks, imagine.
Yeah. No, I'll do that shit for my phone as soon as I get out. Y'all, as soon as spoiler cast, let's go.
Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what pictures you see?
yeah. Make sure to stay tuned to I Am Negan, you know, Walking Dead proper. You know, it's me and Richard Bailey Jr. and our very own Carlos Romero. And, you know, we talk things, the mothership. And, you know, we're in the final season and this part two of three. And, we know, we got to have something. And, you know, Walking Dead is back. I Am Negan on Spotify, on all of the podcast streams.
The Nuke
and the coalition.com. You can catch on that. And see you soon.
Oh, man. Good stuff. All right, people. We are out of here. Shout out to everybody in the chat. You know, you guys are awesome. Keeping it lively in there, you know. Semi talking shit. I like that too. All right. All right. So be sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter and join the Discord where Mob Hits is always dropping the craziest rumors. Again, I don't know where my man finds this shit. I appreciate that. We can follow Throwdown on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show. And visit throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. Also, if you are watching us on YouTube and you enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when we go live. There will be the YouTube premieres, I should say, Monday and Friday nights at 10:45 p.m. Eastern, man. And that's that. Oh, yeah. Oh, obviously, links to everything. Once again, our show host Tony Polanco, and tonight was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
16 more days. 16 more days. Later, people.
Brett Murdoch.
The immortal words of this message, fingers, butthole.
Yes. And
yo,
Brian,
go ahead.
Okay, after the show. And Brian Majoma.
Last week, someone asked who'd win between Forbidden West and Elden Ring. All I'm going to say is find someone who's still playing Forbidden West.
Oh. Now me, I already got the platinum, baby. All right, people, we'll see you on Thursday. Later.
Deuces.